wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. How thankful we ought to be for the Bible, the Holy Word of God. There is no other way we could learn about God's creation of the universe and then of how he made man. Then there is the history of the first human family, Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. The very first few pages of the Bible tell us so much. And in every person, every incident, and each decision of their lives, God would teach us big lessons. My subject is, What Hast Thou Done? These are the words of the Lord God as he faced Cain with his awful sin. When there was but one human family on earth, a strange thing happened. The oldest boy, having grown into young manhood, got into an envious rage and killed his younger brother. Then he buried him in the sand, scratching away his footprints and washing his hands. When the parents missed their son, he played ignorant and helped them look for him as a bluff. Finally, the parents supposed some wild animal had eaten him, and all searching ceased. Then Cain went his way, thinking that was the end of the matter. He did watch the grave to see whether some animal might catch the scent and empty that grave. So, one day, when strolling near that spot, Cain was halted by someone calling his name. He saw no one, not even an angel, but a great light shone around him. The trees and scenery seemed to fade away. Then he knew it was the living God of heaven, and he was afraid. Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? That question Cain had often heard, and he always answered it with a lie. So he tried to lie to God and answered, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? Then came God's final question, What hast thou done? And God paused, waiting for his repentance, just like an officer faced a young man with his name found in the car he wrecked. But Cain would not repent, and so God pronounced his verdict. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and now art thou cursed. And Cain was banished from God's presence, bearing God's curse forever. Neighbor, this is in the Bible as a warning to you and to me. It is also written, Know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Cain's turn came, and your turn will also come, when you must face God to answer that question, What hast thou done? If the question were about your neighbor, you'd be glad to tell his faults. If about some current event, you would gladly give your opinion. But for God to demand of you, What hast thou done? That just puts you on the spot. It is like the judge calling up your case. Neighbor, you cannot run away from this. You must face the fact of your many sins. God now has mercy for you if you will confess your sin and repent. But if not, then God will charge you with your every sin in the day of judgment and your full punishment you must bear forever. What had Cain done? God did not expect Cain to confess to him every sin of his life. When would he finish, and when would you and I end? Cain couldn't remember them all, nor could we. But in Cain's history, there were certain sins that had characterized his life. So it is with every man. That's why we call one man a thief, another a drunkard, one a brute, and another a liar. What had Cain done? Four things expressed his life. First, he went his own way, refusing the light of heaven. Second, he brought the sacrifice that he could brag about, his works. Third, he refused to turn and take God's way. And then to climax it all, he showed the wicked envy and hatred of his heart by killing his brother, and then in deceit trying to hide it and lie out of it. Truly a bad history. No wonder Cain didn't want that subject brought up by anyone. Neighbor, isn't it that way with you too? What you have done isn't pretty, now is it? It wouldn't look good on a screen, nor sound good over the radio. I mean the whole story, the true story of what you've done. Cain first refused heavenly revelation as Adam told his boys about God and how to approach God. But Cain had his own ideas, and he took his own way. as he brought a sacrifice to God. It was the kind he could boast of, the fruit of the ground. He knew God required an animal and blood. He knew that God had cursed the ground, but he didn't mind insulting God just so he could boast of his fine fruits, his works. Cain set a bad example, and many are his followers today. The Bible says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." Neighbor, have you ignored Christ, the Lamb of God, who is the one mediator between God and men, and who is the only way to God, to take your own way? Have you despised the blood of his cross and dared to offer God some of your good works or religious performances? Cain was rejected by God for taking his own way, but God offered him acceptance if he would bring one of Abel's lambs, but in pride he refused. Some people would rather strut onto hellfire in their religion than to humbly repent and hold up to God as their only confidence Christ and his atoning blood. Cain saw his sacrifice rot on the altar. God wouldn't have it. While God accepted Abel's lamb as it went up in smoke to heaven, and Cain saw Abel rejoicing in his certain acceptance before God, that stirred Cain's envy. It fanned his hatred into a hot fire, and Cain, who wouldn't kill a lamb, killed his own brother. Cain was like the heathen who teach it is a bigger sin to kill an animal than to kill a man. Neighbor, even though you are not in a death cell, in a prison, yet you are like Cain, for you boil in envious hatred when you see a person rejoicing in being saved and giving all the glory to the Lord Jesus. You hate the Christians and you hate their Christ too. You can't bear hearing those Bible verses that say, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin," while you still talk about your good works. God has heard all your bragging, and he's sick of it. For he knows the selfish motives that prompted your good works, and he labels the whole pack of them as only abomination in his sight. So now, Mr. Cain, after all your big talk about what you have done, God puts you on the carpet, and he challenges you, "What hast thou done?" Now you have the floor. Tell God all about your fruits and your good works, but Cain is silent. Neighbor, in the day of judgment, all your good works will vanish. No worse than that. They will all turn black. They'll smell like rotted fish and look like a cesspool, and you'll even be ashamed of them. You'll be as dumb silent as was Cain. Since Cain had nothing to brag about, he was silent, for he would not confess his sin and repent. Many of you are standing right there. God has decreed that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. He shut the mouth of Cain, and he will shut the mouth of every proud man. I was once as proud as Cain, but I'm glad that God has already shut my mouth and I have taken my rightful place as guilty before God. Have you? Why did God put those four words to Cain? "What hast thou done?" First, because each one is responsible for what he does. Our deeds and our words and our thoughts too all proceed from our own hearts, and they're ours. We can blame no one with them. We must say, "I did it." We must answer to God for everything. Our Lord said that for every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. How solemn! God knows our hearts, every lust, every covetous desire, every vain ambition. God has our record, and we have to do with him about them. "What hast thou done?" You did it. God demands an accounting to him. You have no excuse. What wilt thou say in the day of judgment? God brings back the past, saying, "What hast thou done?" You must face God's record of your sins. The light that God gave you will also be remembered in that day of judgment. Your friends told you, "Oh, forget it," but there's no forgetting it, for God requires that which is past. To Cain, God said, "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." God, because he is God, must take vengeance. He must require the past at the hand of every man. Now comes the biggest lesson. Watch with me, neighbor. Don't miss this. Standing there in God's presence was Abel's grave in view. Cain made his greatest decision. God had stopped him with, "What hast thou done?" Then God waited. What for? What could Cain do about the matter? His brother was already dead, and he couldn't live those days over again. That's true. But this Cain could do. He could have repented. None of us can live our lives over again. God does not demand the impossible of us, but he does command all men everywhere to repent. Had I been there as God waited, I would have pled with Cain to repent. It was his only hope, his last chance. But Cain gritted his teeth, set his jaw in defiance. Not a tear of repentance, not a word of confession, not a move did he make. Then God sealed his doom forever, saying, "Now art thou cursed." When he let slip by the last space God gave him to repent. Many of you are living the last moments of God's grace to you. This day will be the final, fatal day to you. This hour is the hour of decision for you. Cain set his will in defiance as if to say, "Go ahead, do what you want, I can take it." But in a few seconds that defiant fool cried, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Neighbor, the old devil may get you to think you can take it, but before you are 3 seconds in hellfire, you will cry like Cain, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." But in my audience, is in some room, some boat, some car, there is one who is moved to repent. Let me help you. Neighbor, fall on your knees. Don't check those falling tears. Tell God you're ashamed of your sinful past and ask him to have mercy on you. But how can he? For that reason, this message is brought to you. I'm here to tell you how God can show you mercy. Listen, Jesus our Lord was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. For your sins he died, and for your salvation he arose. As your Lord and Savior, he wants you to trust him. I assure every repentant sinner in my great audience, God will show you mercy when you repent, and Christ will save you when you call upon his name. For it is written, and God always keeps his word, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And again it is written, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Right now, where you are, cry to him, "Lord Jesus, I'm lost. Please save me. I call upon thy name, Lord Jesus," and he will. And this day will be hereafter the day of all days in your life, never to be forgotten. When you, in honest confession before God, repented of your sins, and as you called on the Lord Jesus Christ, he drew near and saved you, forgiving you of your sins and making you one of his own loved people to bear his name as one that belongs to Christ, a real Bible Christian. But how can we tell those who have had this real experience with God? First, they shall never brag about the good life they lived, but will let all know that when Jesus saved them, he saved a lost sinner. Second, they shall never parade their good works as what gave them acceptance with God, but they shall glory in the cross of Christ, where Christ finished the work that saves. Third, they will love the Lord Jesus Christ, and being in love with him, his praises shall be on their lips. So they will speak of their dear Lord Jesus and what he did for them. Neighbor, how do you stand before these three tests? And remember, you might imitate a Christian in lots of things, but when it comes to really loving the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't bluff that. And the Bible says of all those who cannot stand that test, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed." The same God who cursed Cain puts his eternal curse on one and all who do not love Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Oh, my neighbor, that curse will make you cry forever, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Forsake that way of Cain and turn your heart over to the Lord Jesus Christ to trust him as your Savior and to love and serve him as your Lord. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God through his bondservant, David Brinkman.